Welcome to our evening Vespers. This evening we will not be singing the psalmody hymn, hymn 452. We will not be singing that tonight. Lord's blessings on our worship. Scripture lesson for our meditation tonight is taken from St. Paul's letter to the congregation in Rome. the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The passengers waited to see which ship they would be traveling on for their long journey, and the young man stood in line and had received his assignment, and as he approached the large vessel that he would be going up onto for this trip, he looked closely at it, and it was a beautiful boat, beautiful ship, had some flaws on it, but it was a beautiful boat, and it was much nicer than many of the other vessels that were apparently available that were receiving passengers. And this was a very special trip that he was going on. He was finally getting to go home. He was finally going to be going to a new land. It was actually his fatherland, even though he had never actually been there before. And he had heard such wonderful stories about this homeland that he was going to. And he'd been sent his citizenship papers by a very wealthy relative who had paid for this entire trip, this entire journey. And he now was going up on the plank, boarding the ship with tremendous anticipation. And when he arrived in his cabin, he looked on his nicely made bed, and there was an envelope on the bed. And he opened it up, and it was from the benefactor that had paid for this trip. And this is what it read. Welcome aboard. I have chosen to have you travel on this particular ship. You will find the accommodations very comfortable, though not perfect. On your journey, you may enjoy all of the features of this vessel. I ask you to be obedient to the captain and his crew who are here to serve you. Though this ship is rather nice, remember that your destination is much, much nicer. Please do not become so attached to this boat that you lose sight of your final destination. An early church father used that illustration that I just used to depict the life of a believer in this world, a Christian. God has called you to be his own child through faith in Christ. He's baptized you into his kingdom, made you now a child of light. And by doing that, has cleansed you of all of your sin, the very things that would have kept you and me from ever knowing the final destination of heaven. But he has cleansed us of all of our sin, dressed us in the robe of holy righteousness of our Savior, and we now stand as perfect saints before God in this life. What a blessing to be part of this. And yet God has called us to this great fatherland, where we belong, where our hearts are, and where our future home is, even though we've never been there. And he's made that citizenship a possibility for us, all because of his grace. And the entire purpose of this faith that we are blessed to have and to know is actually to get us to that wonderful homeland. But while on this journey, he has placed us in the care of people in our lives who are here for our good and to benefit us. And it starts with our parents. They have authority over us. They take care of us and manage us. They sometimes have to discipline us. It's also found in our teachers and those who have authority over us in other positions in life, and certainly our government officials as well. And they have all been placed over us for our benefit and for our good. And so thinking of ourselves as if in this life being on a boat that is bound for the beautiful home of heaven, we now have maybe what you might call dual citizenship. We have a temporary citizenship while we're here in this life, and we have people that we are to listen to and people that are here to take care of us, and God calls upon us to submit to their authority. And yet we know that we have already, by faith in that Savior, citizenship in the greater place, the much greater home of heaven. But the individuals who are overseeing us in this life, God says, have been put there for our good. And it is His will that we obey them and that we follow them, with one exception, and that is should they ever command us to do something that we know He and His Word would tell us not to do, then we should obey God rather than men. But short of that, we should listen to them, obey them, and not rebel against them. Now, this being read this week is important as we're on the heels of an election. We will have a new presidency coming in again in January. And it's a good time for us to pause and think about the blessings that we have of being in this great nation that we live in, these United States that we presently reside in. Clearly, our government officials are not perfect. Some of them make that very obvious to us. There are glaring mistakes in them and glaring flaws and imperfections in them, in the same way that sometimes our parents aren't always perfect with us either. And yet, when we look at the leaders of other countries and people who live, if you will, on other boats than the nation that we get to live in, we realize what a blessing we have. And the democracy that we get to be in, where we actually get to select and choose our officials, quite often works out to be a great blessing for us. And St. Paul reminds us in the text before us that the one in authority is God's servant for your good. Even if the one in authority is not aware that they are God's servant, quite often they're not, but even then, God says, they are my servants placed there for your good. Our Augsburg Confession says it very simply, lawful civil ordinances are good works of God. So these are good things that God has placed into our lives. And when Jesus took the Roman coin in his hand that had the image of Caesar on it, and he spoke those familiar words, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God, he was recognizing that his faithful live in these two distinct kingdoms from each other. They are not pitted against each other. We are not to see them that way. But our relationship to them and our obedience to them is to be kind of a both-and situation. The Roman Empire of Jesus' day was clearly flawed, was clearly imperfect, at times anti-Christian, and even attempted to destroy Christianity in certain places. There were horrific atrocities done by their rulers. And yet notice that Paul, writing to the faithful Christians in Rome at this time, living at times under just horrible rulers, commands them that they are to obey their rulers and to submit to them as being God's servants. Paul acknowledged this authority over him himself in his own life when he was brought up on charges by many of the Jews, and he had to now stand before Festus, and this is what he said. I am now standing before Caesar's court, where I ought to be tried. I have not done any wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving of death, I do not refuse to die. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. And Paul was there utilizing his Roman citizenship and the fact that the authorities that were placed over him in that situation, he was actually appealing to the very laws that he himself was willing to live under. even if it meant his own execution. Now, the text in front of us from Paul's letter to the Romans reminds us that as believers in Christ, we have a double reason to obey our government. If you think about it, an atheist or an unbeliever has one reason to obey the government. It's basically fear. It's basically to avoid punishment or to avoid getting hit with a financial penalty, avoid being imprisoned, avoid being intimidated. That is what keeps society in line. That's the curb that keeps people from just killing each other and from stealing and robbing and doing all sorts of evil against one another. The authorities that sit over us use fear and intimidation in a good way to allow us to have a civil society. And so Christians recognize that as well. There's a curbing aspect to the civil law that is over us. And there's a certain amount of fear that we need to have and respect for that authority that can do things to us. But God calls upon you and me as ones who are bound for that beautiful home in heaven through the work of Christ. God calls upon us as his saints in this world to have a second reason to obey the authorities. It's not just to avoid fear. It's to demonstrate our love and thanksgiving to him for how gracious he has been to us. This is one of the grapes that God would love to see on the branches of those who are connected to the vine of Christ. This is one of the good works that God commands lovingly for us, and he wants it to be produced in us not out of terror and fear of something bad happening to us, but because we recognize in these authorities that are placed over us the hand of God and the kindness of God and the goodness of God. And so the believer in Christ has two reasons to obey the government, not just fear, but more importantly, out of love to this precious Savior who is going to take us off of this vessel that we are living in this life and someday have us walk onto the beautiful shores of the mansion of heaven that he has prepared for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.